I would have liked to have been in that service. I think that would be fun. Okay. I wasn't intended to do that, but I guess I was kind of dragging this morning, and I need to be pumped. Y'all look like the same thing. If you're not pumped, I'll play it for you again. And if you don't get pumped, I'll play it for you again. Come on. When you talk about the names of God, there's no way that you should not get pumped. We like to say, we like to speak about calling upon the name of the Lord. But the name of the Lord is not just Jesus. Didn't you hear Him say that? Didn't you hear Him? Did you want to say His name Jesus? See, we get so cooped up and so in ritualistic things that we think that that what we need to do is when we get in trouble is call Jesus. Well, what do you need right at the moment? That's what His name is. That's how it really is. Whatever you need right at the moment is what His name is. I didn't get a good response from that. But that's a good thought. I mean, that's a real thought. That's the truth. Whatever you need at the moment, that's what His name is. If you don't believe it, call on Him and see. Just call on Him and see. Get out of the form. Get out of the formality. You know, help in the time of trouble is one of His names. I think that we need a building. And I think we need it paid for. That's His name. Why don't we get Him out of the box? Why don't we really open it up and let loose and see what He can do? Instead of putting Him in some little Catholic or Protestant or charismatic or whatever box we try to shove Him in. That was some good preaching right then. And if anybody turned it off because they didn't like the box that it came in, that's foolishness. You guys get Christmas presents and you just rip the box apart because you're going after the gift. Why don't we do that with Jesus? Why don't we quit looking at whatever religious package He came in and just go for the gift and see what happens? Now, I want to talk a little bit about motherhood and wives today. I don't know if I'm going to get to it or not. But I'm going to tell you the first thing that I know. When it comes to the way the Lord looks at us, we have to fit in a package of a wife more than a mother. A mother is what a wife conceives. A bride conceives. I mean, a bride that conceives is a mother. Did I say that right now? And God the Father wants every individual in here to conceive. Do you know that? You understand what I'm trying to tell you? So as we talk about, as Connie read that scripture this morning, we're probably going to read it again, but when we read it the next time, I want you to read it like you're the wife and you're the bride and you're the conceiving mother, me. You understand where I'm going with this? Now let me just read you scripture. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I would like nothing better to be able to do what that guy just did on that tape. It's in my heart, it's in my soul, believe me. I am a very soul man on the inside. Doesn't always come out, but I'm in there and I love that kind of stuff. Now let's get to the spirit man, Luke 1. We're going to outshout this guy next door. Now in the sixth month, this is the 26th verse, I'm sorry, Luke 1, 26. We'll read through verse 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, right there you have a picture of us, by the way, in case you think this is something strange. Right now, that's who we are. We are a bride that is betrothed, but we are still virgins. We haven't truly entered into the marriage bed, the marriage room of with Jesus. We will get there one day, but right now we're betrothed. That means we're legally married without all of the benefits. We still have a lot of benefits, but not fully. We haven't moved into his house yet. Okay. Verse 28. Having come in, the angel said to her, notice the angel was welcome, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Now what's happening here is this was a greeting that was out of order. The angel, believe it or not, was out of order. That's kind of the way God always is. We make the order and he breaks it. Thank God. Now she said she was wondered, she was troubled. This very much concerned her about this type of greeting because she had not been married yet. Do you understand? The party happened at the marriage, not before the marriage. So what's all the rejoicing about? I'm just standing here, ready to be married. What? It's not time for the party. Verse 30, then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." How did she find favor with God? Come on, you've heard this story before. How come right now the angel is saying that she found favor with God? That's right, isn't it? Obedience, purity. But she hadn't done anything yet. Or nothing had been done to her yet. We need to remember that a physical action is not consummation of God's will. Or a consummation or rebellion against God's will. Now, did you hear what I said? Physical action has nothing to do with the consummation or the rejection of God's will. It's an intent of the heart. You hear what I said now? Blessing comes from the intent of the heart. Curses come from the intent of the heart. The angel, God knew that Mary was pure and obedient. She would do whatever God told her to do. So the angel came down and said, "I want to tell you, God really does appreciate it. You are blessed." Verse 32, or 31. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Now, you've heard me say over and over, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, any of you, but especially you women, if an angel visited you today and said, "You're going to have a baby out of wedlock, you're going to get mocked, and you're going to get ridiculed, and you're going to get made fun of, you're going to get accused, but just everything will be okay," would you be able to say at that moment, "This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it"? See, there was a lot more than just saying, "Okay, go ahead and have your way with me." There was a lot more than that. She made a commitment. She made a you might say, a 30-year commitment with this agreement right here. We always do that when we have children. Here's what's going to happen. He will be great. Well, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Now, where in this point did Mary have a vote? Her vote came, remember this when you're telling God how much you're going to serve him. Her vote came before this. She said, "Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done." That's when her vote came. And then the revelation of the plan came after that. It's too late to back up. She'd already committed. We need to do that with all of our hearts. We need to commit to God that no matter what he says, no matter what he asks, and no matter in what form or way he does it, we're committed and we're not going to back up on him. And then let him have his way. He'll be great. And he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Do you understand? God does not get mad at us for asking questions. He gets mad at us for saying no. He never gets mad at us for asking questions. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit." Trust the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Another impossibility. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Listen to what she said. Let it be to me according to your word. Now the minute she said that, the angel departed. The angel came to hear one thing. He came to say one thing, and he came to hear one thing. And that's okay. It's a deal. And the angel departed. And just a few verses later, after this happened, this is what Mary said. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. This is a woman that just, you might say, made a deal to be ridiculed. But the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit, when you get confirmation from God via the Holy Spirit, all the fear goes away. All the worry goes away. Now listen, I want to tell you something. Once again, I'll say it. We are talking about a physical wife and bride, and we're talking about a mother, and a spiritual wife, bride, and mother. So that's going to include everybody in this room. Nobody's left out. You got that? Now, there is a... I want to read you... Yeah, let me read some more scripture. That won't insult you, will it? Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, that's everybody in here, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, and loving in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Did you hear the last part of that? No, the very last thing. Anybody in here want to be a blasphemer? Well, let me tell you how to be a blasphemer. Men, women, and everybody. You are not sober. You are not reverent. You are not temperate. You are not. Your faith is not sound. You don't walk in love, and you don't walk in patience. You slander people. You drink too much wine. You don't teach good things. You don't teach younger women, or get taught if you're a younger woman or man, to love their husbands. You don't love your children. Any of these, not all of these in one, any of these. You're not discreet. Do we need to go into what discreet means? You can't keep a secret. Secret means you can't keep your dress down. You can't keep your dress up. You're just not discreet. You think that, well, you don't keep secrets. That's good enough. You're not a good homemaker. That's blaspheme to God. You're not obedient to your husbands, and you're not obedient to the Word of God. That's how you become a blasphemer. Never noticed that until this study. I always wonder how you blaspheme God. It was a lot simpler than I thought. Now, the scriptures he read a while ago, Proverbs 31, that's verses 10 through 31. I want to quickly read it to you again, only this time we're not going to read it to the ladies that are up here. We're going to read it to everybody in here, the bride of Christ. Can we change that just a little bit? We gave honor to the mothers today. Do you understand that? But honor without some kind of teaching is worthless. It's worthless. It just gives you a puffed head. So let's teach a little bit. A wife, that's you and I, of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband, that's Jesus, people. That's Jesus. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing in value. Do you understand what that's saying? That we're valuable to Jesus? And when He has us, He lacks nothing in value? Whew. Isn't that neat? All we have to do is... Now listen, let's go back to... I want everything to be tied to what Mary said to the angel, or to God. Do you remember what that was? Come on. Be it unto me according to your word. I want everything tied to that in our lives right here this morning. Because that's what's going to make a good wife, and that's what's going to make a good mother, and it's the only thing, whether it's my wife to me, or my wife and I as the bride of Christ to Jesus. It has to be. Our statement every minute of every day has to say, be it unto me according to your word. So, here's His word. And I'm saying of this, as we read this, I want you to say with me, be it according to me. Be it unto me according to your word. A wife of noble character. When Jesus has me, He lacks nothing of value. She brings Him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Come on, this is a mirror. Let's look into it. Do you bring good to Jesus all the days of your life? She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. In other words, you don't have to drag these people into work. They're anxious to work for God. She is like the merchant ships, bringing food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Does this sound like a successful bride so far? Well, let's go on. I'll bet you we find out she's more successful. She sets about her work vigorously. By the way, if none of these apply in your life, don't expect to be a successful bride. Her arms are strong for her tasks. Her arms are strong for her tasks. In case anybody has the idea that a bride is supposed to be a wimpy little nothing, there's a good argument. Her arms are strong for the task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindles in her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Now listen. When you read the Bible, one of the things that Jesus requires of His bride is this right here. You open your arms to the poor and you extend your hands to the needy. We're not just talking about my physical wife. We're talking about the bride of Jesus. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, and all of them are clothed in scarlet. You know what clothed in scarlet means? They're not just warm. They got better than Columbia. Scarlet is expensive. The color is expensive. The material we're talking about is an expensive robe here. We're not talking about just barely making it through the winter and barely making your household work. We're talking about, as the bride of Christ, we are more than prosperous. We are more than able. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Once again, an expensive statement. Listen to this. Listen to this. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Who are we talking about here? Who are we talking about here? Let me ask you something. In this city, is Jesus respected? See, we might as well get real. I don't believe Jesus is respected in this city. Why? Because we haven't been the bride we're supposed to be. Not just this little group. I'm talking about the body of Christ in general. We haven't been the bride we're supposed to be. Physical wife? How much do you brag on your husband? Spiritual bride? How much do you brag on your husband? How much do you build him up? When he walks into a place, will he be respected just out of what you've said and done? Isn't that what this is really saying? Will people respect you because of what your wife has said and done? Will people respect Jesus of what I have said and done? She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. That's you and I. We are clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. One of the warnings of the last days is a lot of extra death because of what? Fear of the days to come. They'll die early. They'll die of heart failure because of what they see, they think they see. What does the bride of Christ see? So far, strength and vigor and prosperity and clothed well and respected. So what do we as a bride do? Come on, let's make some decisions on the Word. Let's don't just listen to me. This is Word I'm reading to you. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. How many of you laugh at your problems now? Are they just your problems? How many of you speak negative about things? She says, I'm having to deal a lot with this about me, so I'm just going to dump it on you. I'm not going to take this all by myself. You get to enjoy it. God talks to me a lot in the last days, in the last few days, about speaking negatively. Because that brings no respect to Him. Do I trust that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do I really believe that? Well, do I? Do you? Then what are we afraid of? What do we worry about? What are we concerned about? And what do we fight about? What is there to fight about? She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Come on, man. We got mirrors all around here, and I'm reading you a mirror right now. Consider your ways. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Shall we go down the list? You can point at me, and I'll point at you. Are you speaking wisdom? Are you instructing? I told Brian last night, and I firmly believe this, you and I need to make a commitment to each other. Larry, if I'm in your gun shop, we need this commitment to each other. If I'm in your house, if I'm eating dinner with you, whatever, if I haven't built your faith, I have failed God. If you want something written on the wall, a vision that will keep your path straight, say that to yourself over and over. When we meet, if I haven't increased your faith, I have failed God. What do I base that on? How is the only way to please God? Faith. So if I don't increase faith in myself and you both, I'm not pleasing God. That's where this comes from. You can just say it again. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household. Now, do you understand this is Word? And we just got through saying, be it unto me according to your Word. That's how Jesus was conceived in Mary. Do you understand that? That's how Jesus was conceived in Mary. Do you understand that? Do you want Jesus conceived in you? Then you must say to the angel, be it unto me according to your Word. And I'm reading your Word. So every time we read Word, if it fits or if it doesn't fit, doesn't make any difference. Say, be it unto me according to your Word. And that's the way Jesus will be conceived in us. You see, that when Mary was visited, the Holy Spirit had not come yet to reside. So this was a special visitation. But when Jesus went, the comfort of the Holy Spirit came. He resides forever, and He's telling you something every day. The Holy Spirit's faithful to explain or tell you something every day. All we have to do is say, be it according to me, be it unto me according to your Word. And once again, Jesus is conceived in us. That's how we become a good mother, a good bride, a good wife. That gives me bumps, and I'm going to keep them. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. Her children arise and call her blessed. You know why? She did not order them and tell them, get up and call me blessed. I got to walk on ice up here. This stage is something else. She didn't order her children to rise and call her blessed. It comes out of their heart. Her husband also arises and calls her blessed. Cool. You see, I can get up in the morning and I can say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I choose to rejoice and be glad. And what does the Lord say according to this? What does He call me? What does my groom, my husband, Jesus, call me? Let me tell you something. When He calls you something, that's what you are. And He praises her. See, we got up and praised the Lord this morning. Guess what the Lord was doing to us? Look up the word bless. You'll find out that it means that you kneel in adoration. And I just read you that the Lord knelt in adoration about you. If you follow His Word. That is the most astounding, amazing thought that you can ever have in your life. That the God of heaven and earth would kneel and adore you. Praise you. All we have to do is say, "Be it unto me according to your word." That's how simple it is. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned. And let her works bring praise at the city gate. Hey, when you're dealing with brothers and sisters in Christ, don't look for a good speaker. Don't look for a good singer. And don't look for a guy that dresses good. Because charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Be the bride of Christ and fear the Lord. Trust Him. He's good. Give her the reward she has earned. And let her works bring praise at the city gate. Now listen, I read your word. I'm going to read you just a little more. Proverbs 6, verse 20. It says, "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teachings." You know why that's written in here? Because every son is looking for a wife. And what this is saying is that your father will set the example by marrying a good woman, and your mother will set a good example by being a good woman. Example. So you follow their teaching and you'll end up with a good wife. "Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the correction of discipline are the way to life." Listen what? What happens? This keeps you from the immoral woman. From the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. "Do not lust in your heart after her beauty or let her captivate you with her eyes. For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread and the adulteress preys upon your very life." That's physically, that's spiritually. It ties right into that deception of beauty and charm. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'll bet you a dollar to a donut hole that Mary wasn't the most beautiful woman on the face of the earth, except to God. So you and I don't have to be the most beautiful or perfect to become the bride of Christ. We just have to be, we have to be this very person. "Be it unto me according to your word." Why are we supposed to discuss the word, preach the word, teach the word, speak the word, believe the word all the time? So that really is to us, unto us, according to God's word. That God's word will really be unto us. You understand what I'm saying? We understand that about money. If I don't have it, I can't spend it. We got that one down early on when we was little bitty kids, didn't we? Why didn't we get that about the word? If I don't have it, I can't spend it. Why didn't we get that early on? Mary knew it. "Be it unto me according to your word." And boom! A miracle happened. Do you understand the only way miracles are happening are when Jesus conceived through miracles? However way you want to say that. The only way people are going to see it, we're going to see it, is when the Word does to us what it's supposed to do. Was that too complicated or simple? Or I don't know, maybe I got lost for a second. I'm trying to say it correctly. I need to be healed. The Word has to heal me. If I need to be saved, the Word saves me. If I need a building, the Word is going to get the building. If I need my business to be increased, the Word is going to do that. If I need my children healed, taught, the Word's going to do that. It's not going to come any other way. The world needed Jesus. And that person said, "Be it unto me according to your word." And Jesus came. It's the same way today, right now. You want to be a better mother? You say, "Be according to me, be it unto me according to your word." You want to be a better husband? That's what you say. You want to be a better minister for God? You want to represent Christ better?
It's the only way.
Be it unto me according to your word. And then stand back. Here's the thing. Mary really didn't have the full idea of what the word was going to do to and through her. But she found out. We will find out. I stand amazed every day. Every day. When I watch, sit back and watch what God does. If you'll just trust His Word. If you'll just speak His Word. If you'll just breathe His Word and eat it. Now I fully expect that building to come. Because I am saying, be it unto me according to your Word. The Word says that anything that you ask in His name, according to His will, and you don't doubt, you will get it. So be it unto me according to His Word. What is that? What's my obligation? I have to yield to His Word. I can't question, well, could you fill out this form and could you explain in triplicate what you're going to do and how you're going to do it? Then I'll take it back in the boardroom and I'll research it real good and I'll study it and then I'll get back with you, God. By that time, He's found somebody else that's a lot more willing. I wouldn't say that for nothing. Here's what Jesus is looking for. It's found in Ephesians 5. This is what I'm looking for in my wife. This is what my wife is looking for in a husband. This is what Jesus is looking for in a bride. Husbands, love your wives. Where are the people with all the questions and comments when I'm reading the Scripture? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. Husbands, you want a good wife? What's your obligation? What else? Verse 26. We love that first one. We love 25, but we forget to read 26. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. This is a two-way street. We just established a two-way street. The husband loving his wife, the wife loving the husband, but Jesus loving the bride and bride loving Jesus. Now let's read that 26 then. That He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. That He might present her to Himself a glorious church. Wow, we went right out of the marriage into the church again. You notice how they keep, they're just intertwined here. They're not separated at all. That He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. The reverse of that is if you don't love your wife, you don't love yourself. Now, one more time. In verse 26, what is Jesus' responsibility to us? What is my responsibility to Connie? Anybody got an answer? How? With the Word. I wash her with the Word. Who's washing me with the Word? I'm His bride. Who's washing me? Man, and you think He's faithful? You think every day, all day long, He's trying to wash me with the Word? You know, all I got to do is stop putting out so many words? My own words? That's all I have to do. What is my answer to it? Be it unto me according to your Word. I get a shower. Isn't that cool? All my wife has to do is say, be it unto me according to your Word. Uh-oh. What's my word? Well, here's God's word. I'll wash you. Isn't that a neat thing? Just picture that. All I have to do is say, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Isn't that the same statement? Be it unto me according to your word. All I have to do that is say, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. And I get a wash. I get sanctified and purified. And I'm becoming holy, that bride without spot or wrinkle. I get it. Now she says, I don't care. It's whatever you want, honey. And I say, I want God's will. And then, isn't that great? Or is this life too simple? Am I making it like a little child would understand it? I think that's the way we're supposed to do it, right? I want that. 1 Corinthians 7:4 says, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, dig this now. This is so cool. And likewise, the husband. Who's your husband, Brian? Christ. Listen to what it says. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Did I press the limit too far here? See, if we can do this physically, we can do it spiritually too. Everything's the same. Do you understand that when I do what God asks me to do, what Jesus tells me to do, He does no longer have authority over His own body? And now He's given it to me? Isn't that just another way of saying in His name? Isn't that just another way of saying using His power of attorney? Isn't that neat? You want to walk with authority? How did Jesus walk with so much authority and power? He only spoke what God spoke. He only did what God wanted Him to do. And He just changed the world. Guess what we can do if we'll do the same thing? Bride of Christ. Wife of mine. Guess what we can do? Brian, can we take the city? What's up? All we have to do is get washed with His Word all the time. Or agree with Him. Agree with what He speaks, and He will speak. Here is the key. A wife, a mom, they do nothing for themselves. They are totally dedicated to the family. Isn't that what that long scripture verse said a while ago? This is the way we are to be in the body. We do nothing for ourselves, but only for others. This is the way we are without spot or wrinkle. We want Jesus birthed in us today. Listen, we're going to talk about this some more later, but I was praying the other morning, and listen to me. God said to me, just as plain as day, don't ask me anything, don't ask me for anything that you're not willing to do. Just think about that for a second. Don't ask me for anything that you want a lot. You want Him to give you a lot of money? Anybody here want God to give you a lot of money? Well, then you got to be willing to give it away. How simple it is. Anybody here want a lot of wisdom? Well, you better start speaking in wisdom then. Because don't ask Him to speak to you wisely and maturely if you're not willing to speak wisely and maturely. Anybody in here want to be a responsible person? You want Him to give you responsibility? Then the key is you have to be responsible. You want people to treat you fairly? Guess what you have to do? You have to treat people fairly. That's no fun. I like one-way streets. I want the blessing to come, not to go. You want to be healed? You better start praying for people to be healed. You want the Word to keep coming? You want the Word to come fast and furious? Give it out fast and furious. You want to be a good mother? Be a good wife. Husband, you want a good wife? Be a good wife to Jesus. I promise you it'll work. Anybody want a good bride? Don't have one? Well, be a good bride. And you'll get one. God's selective with who He gives His good women to. He wants them to be with good men. You don't want the man sitting there waving his finger in the woman's face all the time saying, you see what that scripture says? You better get busy. It says you're supposed to go to work. Are you working? You working for God like you should? You believing like you should? He'll take care of the woman. He'll take care of that. Don't you worry about that. Just do what you're supposed to do. Most of our problems are not from another person. They're from us. And by the way, the other person doesn't have to be right or wrong for him to deal with you. Keep that in mind. Sometimes God deals with me. It doesn't have anything to do with whether my wife is right or wrong. She can be wrong and I still get in trouble. In fact, most of the time, that's when I really do get in trouble. Most of the time, I'll end up on God's carpet for the whipping if you do wrong. Anybody can relate to that? Why? Because I'm not in control of my reactions. I need to get them in more control. Now, to bring it back in order, I will tell you that, except for the Scripture now, I'm a whole lot smarter. Let me say it right. I'm a lot smarter now about this than I was a few years ago, because I'm learning to read that Word and say, like Mary said, be it unto me that way. I want it that way in my life. God, I want that in my life. I don't see it. But physically, let's go back. Let's go back to the Mother's Day. Throw the fathers in. I have a heritage of a good mother. A good mother makes a good son. What's a good mother? The one that trusts God with all her heart. Says, God, I'm not smart enough or good enough to raise that ornery outfit, so I'm giving them to you. And I'm going to trust you with all my heart. If my mother were here, I could say to her, I saw her do these things. I saw her rise early and stay up late. I saw her work hard. Do you know where her hardest job was in the entire world? Getting along with my dad. That was the biggest job she had. And she succeeded. She did it. If he is here, I'd say it to his face. He's the world's lousiest husband. He'd argue with me. Didn't make any difference. I watched. For a long time I watched. The marriage stayed together because of the wife. He was too honored to get along with. I can relate to that. I can relate to that. I understand that very well. But she made a decision. And I thank her every day for that because I learned something. After a few knocks and bumps, I learned something. Now I can go and I can look. And no matter, you know, I can still, in the last few years, I've seen her do this. I've seen him be so wrong, he just needs a clubbing. That's all. He just needs a board upside the head. That's what he needs. He's just as wrong as he can be. And my wife stands there saying, I'm not going to be against him. I don't care what. My mother says that. I'm sorry. I'll never be against him. I don't care what you think. Tells me that. I say, why are you siding with that bunch of stuff? Because he's my husband. That's why. Let's go back to the beginning again. If you trust Jesus, you won't question him. You won't question him. You're going to see me do some things you disagree with. If you trust Jesus, you won't argue. You may talk to him, and he may kick me all over the place, but you won't come against me. You won't do it. God will do it. He's not a bit ashamed to take me out behind the barn. He's not a bit afraid, and he does it often. And you know what? Every time he does that, I got to tell you something. Every time God gets after me, I am so thankful. I've never once been mistreated by God. At the answer of your prayers or anybody else's, I've never been mistreated by God. And it's nearly like if the Scripture says that if God loves you, He chastises you. You nearly get to the point where you're saying, God, can you just chastise me a little more today? It is so cool. This week, man, I got furious. Told my wife, I said, get in that shower, we're going to go handle some things. And we head for the shower. She gets in, turns the water on, and we're standing there, both of us buck naked, and all of a sudden God speaks. That is so neat. And I start walking, and she's freezing. I just say, wait a minute. And I start walking, and God starts dealing. Doesn't make any difference who's right or wrong at that moment. It's what God speaks. It's what's right or wrong. That's the important thing. And you will learn. Let me tell you something. Anytime God chastises you or corrects you or speaks to you, you will learn more in that 10 seconds than you've learned in the last 10 years. That's how fast He does it, and that's how faithful He is. Anytime, listen to me, let me give you a little piece of advice. Anytime that you see your focus going off of the problem back onto God, that's good. That's good. That's the way it's supposed to be. If it's not that way, get into the Word, look into the mirror and consider God's Word and say to the Holy Spirit, "Be it unto me according to your Word." God will do miraculous things. He'll start with you, then He'll work on somebody else. Can we all come into agreement that God does that in our lives, that He starts with us and then He works on somebody else? Whitey, if you're wrong, I pray to God that He starts with me. I pray to God with every... I would tell the world, listen, God's my witness. I ask Him to start with me. That's how the situation's healed. Wives, you got a problem with your husband? Ask God to start with you. Husbands, you got a problem with your wife? Ask God to start with you. Church member, you got a preacher that's out of order. Ask God to start with you. Where's my mirror? I go look in there and I'll say, if my church is goofy, would you start with me? Safe enough? Is that a real good safe place to be? Well, I promise you it is. If you don't believe it, you try it. You watch God deal with you. You watch Him set you free. Anybody in here want to be free? Wife, you want to be free from a bad husband? Well, ask Him to start with you. Husband, you got a goofy wife? Ask Him to start with you. Thank you, Lord. God, this is Your Word. I believe with all my heart we did not distort it. We did not do injustice. But Holy Spirit, I believe that You revealed today. I don't know what. I'm not responsible for the revelation. You are, Holy Spirit. And You're faithful. But we in one accord say to You, be it unto me according to Your Word. Because we know that's where that success is, that fine linen, that eagerness, that vigor, that birth of Jesus. We see it in this alone. Be it unto me according to Your Word. This may be a strange Mother's Day sermon, but we don't care. We want Your Word revealed. I am the bride. And in a way, I am the mother of Jesus Christ to some people. I want Him conceived in me. I want that birth fulfilled so that others can meet Jesus. Can meet Him in truth, fullness, joy, understanding. God, teach me Your Word and then teach me to do Your Word so that I can understand Your way. Teach this body. God, we're going to believe You for that building. We're going to believe You for a reason for that building. We're going to believe You for the people to fill the building. Not a little building, but a big, huge building. To be able to minister to You, not one time a week, but every day, all day long. Now, God, I'm out here with my face hanging out boldly saying, I trust You. You will do these things. Hasten to do Your Word. Hasten to do Your Word, God. Reveal Yourself. Exalt Yourself. Let all glory and honor be to You. God, if there's anybody in this place right now that needs anything to pray about, we lay our lives down for them. We lay our love down for them. We lay the grace that You gave to us down to them. We lay the healing that You've given so faithfully to us, we give it to them. Whatever the need may be. Anybody that needs any prayer at all, please come forward. We want to give away what we've given, what we've been given. And God, for everyone else now, I ask You to seal the Word, Your Word, not mine. Seal Your Word in their heart. Seal Your will and Your way in their heart. Make the marriages stronger. But most of all, make the marriage between Jesus and the bride stronger. That's what we want. We know that everything goes better when that's going on. Nothing gets worse. It only gets better. We love you, Lord. We give you all praise and all honor and all glory. We ask you once again to fill the seats mightily. Fill the needs of your people. Heal your people. This city needs them. This city needs your people. Equip, fill, empower, so that we can move on this city like mighty warriors, not like wimps. Do that, Lord. Do that, and we'll give you all praise and all honor and all glory in Jesus' name. Have I forgotten anything? No? Okay. Anybody that wants to pray with or be prayed for, come on up and we'll do that. Otherwise, y'all be blessed. Have a great week.